So we're glad to have all of you here. Your program will provide a list of all of those who have been honored in the past as Alumnus of the Year. You may want to refer to that. There are several that can be with us today, and we want to pay special tribute to them and introduce them at this time. I would ask you, if you will, to please hold your recognition and applause until after all has been introduced, and then we will show our appreciation at that time. I will also ask those that are introduced, if they will, to please stand as their name is called. We have with us today Dr. M. Norval Young and his wife, Helen. Also, we have Mr. Oliver Jackson and his wife, Biddy. Also, Mr. Leslie Huff and his wife, Eunice. Representing the late Tonto Coleman, his wife, Ann. Representing the late Willard Tate, his wife, Billy. Willard Payne, I'm sorry, I'm reading it right off the, and still can't read it, Billy, from Lubbock, Texas. Dr. Burton Kaufman had planned to be with us today, but I understand that there was a death in the family. His brother Robert has passed away. We want to be remembering him, but he is represented today by his wife, Sissy. Dr. A.E. Polly Wells and his wife, Zita.
You can't get up out of this chair.
You can't get up out of the chair. Mr. Chesley McDonald and his wife, Cecil Irene. Dr. Ray McLaughlin, his wife, Kay. Mr. Clifford Thornton and his wife, Jana. Mr. John Holden, his wife, Catherine. Mr. G.W. Bill Knight, his wife, Anna. Mr. Parker Henderson, his wife, Donna. See, Mrs. Gibson didn't make it, I don't believe. Dr. H. Lynn Packer and his wife, Barbara. Dr. Don C. Jackson, his wife, Laverne. And Mr. J. McDonald Williams and his wife, Judy. Would you express your appreciation to those who have been recognized in the past? There's another special group of people that are with us today. Some of them have been your mentors. They've certainly been mine. These are the retired faculty members of Abilene Christian University, known as the Ambassadors. Would they please stand and be recognized at this time? The Ambassadors of Abilene Christian. Thank you. We all also have some other special guests with us today. They are our honored guest. They are the honored guest of the one who is being honored. Sitting at the table on the right, I will ask them to stand as I call their name and also ask you to hold your applause, please, until all have been introduced. We have family members attending. Dr. Guy Brown, son of our honoree, class of 1971 from Washington, D.C. With him today is his wife, Dr. Cheryl Wilson Brown, and their two children, Darcy and Austin. Also, we have with us the daughter, Susanna Brown from Dallas, Texas. And we have Mr. Baxter Brown, a son from Stanton, Texas. His wife, Mrs. Gwen Weddy Brown, class of 1979. Their daughter, Dixie. She's the pretty one in the pink. Also with us today is Gwen's mother, Mrs. June Weddy. Would you express your appreciation of these good people? Now, we are in for a very special treat. I don't know how many of you were able to attend Sing Song at one of the evenings that it was presented, one of the three programs, or four programs, I think they've now expanded it to. But one of the songs that was written by one of the graduate students, Mrs. Jan McCoy, who is a graduate student, by the way, here at Abilene Christian, there was evidently some competition to write the religious song that would be used and sung by the Sing Song host and hostesses. And of all the students that turned in some material, Jan McCoy was the winner. She is the wife of Burl McCoy. And for your listening enjoyment at this time, our sing-song host and hostesses, Mark Collier, Don Hyun, Ty Lovell, Becky Beasley, Michelle Coleman Hammond, and June Ann Nell will sing this special song. Thank you, Jan McCoy, for a beautiful song, and host and hostesses for doing such a marvelous job. Thank you. We're also pleased to have with us this afternoon the His Singers. Now, this is a special song that they're going to sing that has been requested by our honoree. I have not heard all the scoop about this song, but I know that it's a traditional closing song for the Christians that meet at the Stanton Church of Christ. This is a song that was especially requested by our honoree. Our His Singers have been practicing a little bit, and they're going to share that with us at this time. The His Singers of Abilene Christian.
Thank you.
I've just been informed that that was a piece from the National Federation of Music Clubs. Is that correct? Thank you for a job well done. As Brother R.N. Hogan, who preaches in Indianapolis, Indiana, says, if that doesn't ring your bell, then your clapper's broken. Glad to have the hymn singers with us. Now, for a big part of the reason that we're here, our honoree today has chosen Mr. Elmore Johnson of Lubbock to make the comments regarding this occasion. Brother Johnson is a longtime gospel preacher and a longtime friend of our honoree today, and he will be our tribute speaker. Brother Johnson graduated from Turkey High School in 1938 and from Abilene Christian University in 1942. I just did some quick math that adds up. Somehow or another, it took me a little longer than that. He did graduate work in 1960 through 61. He began preaching in June of 1939 under a brush arbor in Potosi. Those of you who don't know, that's a suburban area right outside of Abilene here. During this time, by the way, he lived with Burton and Sissy Kaufman, I understand, while he preached at this brush arbor meeting place. Brother Johnson taught school for 5 years and served as a principal for six, and he continues today his preaching. He is accompanied today by his wife, Marie. They have three sons, all three of whom are preachers, Alfred, Timothy, and James. They have one daughter who is deceased. November of 1989, Brother Johnson was honored with a reception at the Quaker Avenue Church of Christ for his 50 years of gospel preaching. He's a man from a place called Wolf Creek, or Wolf Flat. So from that, you hopefully maybe think of how he might be able to make a name for himself. By the way, he is related to our Carl Burkeen and Dean Emeritus Walter Adams. It says here that they're cousins. I wonder, is that first or second cousins, or third time removed? I won't try to figure that out. But to give the tribute today, please join me in welcoming Elmore Johnson of Lubbock.
Thank you, Dan, and friends of Mary Prudy. Mary Prudy, I didn't know you had all this, these many friends. I don't believe the town of Stanton has this many people. Mary Prudy's story, who later added the name Brown, arrived on the campus of Abilene Christian College in 1940, first class. When the rest of us students were brought to the campus by our parents or hitchhiked, Mary Prudy came in a four-door, straight-eight Buick. You can imagine the conversation in the boys' hall, which was McDonald Hall during those days, concerning the good-looking, 16-year-old, beautiful freshman girl who had arrived on the campus in an almost new Buick. I really do not know what kind of regulations the college placed on her use of that car, but I can report we didn't see much of it. We soon found out that she kept the car parked and could use the city bus for transportation along with the rest of us. Indeed, it's an honor to have the privilege to say a few words in honor of Mary Prudy. I'm a preacher, and as a preacher, I usually take a text for my talks. So Mary Prudy, I want to borrow the Apostle Paul's words when he wrote to the Colossians to use in this tribute to you and to your family. It reads, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven." To know Mary Prudy is to know a person who has a deep and abiding faith in Jesus Christ. Early in life, she became a Christian, and all of the activities that she's been associated with, those that you have heard of, were chosen by her because they were areas in which she believed that she could honor her Lord. She chose Abilene Christian because it was a school which would help her strengthen her faith in the Lord whom she serves. And through the years, she has been faithful to the university because she believes the institution continues to uphold the high standards upon which it is founded. Her faith in the Lord is seen in the family she and Glenn have reared. Glenn, her parents, and her children have been influenced to live the Christian life by this godly woman. The influence is not limited to her family. Recently, it was my privilege to read a number of tributes to her written by some of the citizens of the community of Stanton and Martin County. Without exception, each one of these spoke either of her faith in the Lord or her devotion to the Lord's church. As an example, one citizen wrote, "Mrs. Glenn Brown's best qualification for any honor is her modesty. She does not seek to surge toward any goal, but rather accepts assignments when her good judgment directs that she contributes something to an effort or cause or drive for which her services have been sought." Mrs. Brown is a dedicated wife and mother, and along with devotion to her home and church, she has given impetus from her vast reservoir of talent to every good community cause where she can serve as a soldier in the core of good public life. End of quotation. And I think I can add to that, to know Mary Prudy is to know one who walks by faith. She's a woman who loves all the saints. We live in an age when the church is divided into several segments. It becomes difficult to refer to the church without using a label. The person we're honoring today has sought to live in such a way to heal divisions between brethren. She is one who crosses boundaries and extends fellowship to all saints without regard to labels. And I think it's indeed a credit to her love for all the saints that Abilene Christian University has seen fit to include her as one of their board of trustees, even though she is a member of a congregation that does not use Sunday school in its program of work and worship. She not only is one who loves all the saints, she is a lover of all people. Her love for people has led her into fields of service in the religious and community life of the town in which she lives. Few people live in Martin County who have not been blessed by her loving service extended to them in many ways. So far as I know, she has been a supporter, if not a leader, in every worthwhile program in Stanton. Such activities as building a museum, a library, supporting music, the arts, club work, schools, hospital, home for the elderly, and good government. The community selected her 3 times as their outstanding citizen of the year, and I think that speaks well for her love for all the people. Stanton keeps the welcome mat out to those who travel through their community of 3,000 friendly people and a few old sore heads. And I can tell you that Mary Prudy is one of the friendly people, and Stanton regards her as the official greeter of the community. Mary Prudy is proud of her hometown. You know, it could have been her of whom I heard this story told about. During the early days of the Cold War, there was fear that Russia would use the atomic bomb against America. 2 people were sitting on the courthouse steps in Stanton talking about the bomb. And one of them said, "It would not surprise me if they dropped the bomb here in Stanton." And the other replied, "Why do you think they drop it here?" And she said, "It's the county seat, isn't it?" Mary Prudy, it's a great privilege for us to gather today to honor you as the ACU Alumnus of the Year. And to bring this part of the program to a close, I want to let the Word of God give the summary of your life, where it speaks of good women being well reported of for good works, brought up children, lodged strangers, relieved the afflicted, and diligently followed every good work. You appeared on the campus in 1940 in first class. 50 years later in our book, you're still first class. Thank you.
I was pleased to sit at the table with Mary Prudy and Glenn during our luncheon period together, and was somewhat concerned when I learned that they had sold the drugstore in Stanton, Texas. Those of you who have never been there, its claim to fame is its milkshake. The best milkshake you'll find anywhere in the world is in Stanton, Texas. And is it better than a Blizzard? But I understand that Glenn still works there and they're still making them. He can still sit on the same bar stool and still drink a good milkshake. So I just commend it to you. It's my privilege now to introduce to you Dr. William J. Teague. There's a rumor going around about Dr. Teague. So you can hold up just a second. It seems that there was a plane with three people on. I think CLK was one of the people, maybe perhaps Confederate Air Force, a group of these folks were flying around doing some maneuvers, and it landed somewhere on an uncharted island off the coast. Casey ran off immediately and began to look for some food. The other party that was with him began immediately to look for some shelter, thinking they were going to be there for a while. And one of the good benefactors of Abilene Christian disrobed himself and began to soak up the sun, and when Casey and the other fellow came back, said, "Aren't you concerned?" Said, "Here we are, probably going to be stuck here for a while." To which the benefactor of ACU said, "No," said, "about 3 years ago, I made $1 million gift to ACU." And said, "Last year, I had a very good year, and I told Dr. Teague and gave a little over $2 million to the year." Said, "Just before we left, I visited with Dr. Teague, and I told him I've had an exceptional year." Said, "He will find me."
And that offer goes to all of you who are planning trips. It'll be good if you'll just see me and give me your name before you leave. Passport numbers are not needed at all. I'll be able to recognize you. Thank you very much, Dan Garrett. Dan is doing a great job as the president of the Alumni Association. He continues to work on our behalf all over the state and other states as well, even though his first obligation professionally is to another institution. And we just appreciate all that he and Donna do for us to keep the wheels turning here. And it's an honor for me to say thank you to Dan. And I hope that somewhere as you move along, Dan, a better quality of humor comes into your possession. When you get ready to introduce me, I was so worried about that. I thought we were going to end up, you know, there were three on the island, and we set a goal for four for the next meeting. I knew that went with somebody else, but, you know, I thought that might be where we end. May I introduce my favorite Bible teacher, my wife, Peggy. And this meeting today is the product of one of the newest mothers among us, Mrs. Cheryl Bacon, Director of Alumni Relations. Cheryl, would you and David please stand and receive the recognition of this group? And one lady who is certainly delighted that Cheryl is about ready to return to full-time work is Secretary to Cheryl, Mrs. Ann Hill. Ann, over here in the beautiful purple dress. Now, Mary and Glenn, everybody's been introduced but the two of you. And if you'll just come up here, we're going to do a proper introduction. If you'd come up now, both of you. Glenn, you've given up the store, but they still send you the samples?
Yes, they
still. All right, good. Well, it'll be worth it going by. Still gets free medication. This plaque is the Outstanding Alumnus of the Year plaque, 1989, Abilene Christian University. It reads, Mary Prudy Story Brown, in recognition of your outstanding leadership at the local, district, state, and national levels with the Texas and National Federation of Music Clubs, including your service as national president, for your untiring efforts as a civic leader for the betterment of your own community, and for your being named in 3 separate years as the outstanding civic leader of Stanton, Texas. For your inspiring example as a teacher, musician, and educator, which has brought you numerous awards and honors with distinction. For your unusual capacity to blend your roles of homemaker, church worker, civic leader, and professional educator as you serve the needs of your family. For your exemplary Christian commitment in your lifetime of service to others, including your service to your alma mater as a member of its board of trustees. This award is presented with heartfelt appreciation and admiration by the Abilene Christian University Alumni Association, and it is signed by the president of the Alumni Association, Lewis Knight, and by the president of the university, and bears today's date. Ladies and gentlemen, the Outstanding Alumnus, 1989. Congratulations.
Have the award. Thank you, Dr. Ting. I am truly honored to accept this award. Many years ago, when I came to college here, I never dreamed I'd be standing in this place. And in tribute to our dorm mother at Zellner Hall, Mrs. Retta Scott Garrett, I'm wearing my hat and hose. I did forego the gloves. But anyway, when we came here, none of the girls could leave the campus without their hat and hose. And you didn't go to an affair such as this without your hat and hose. Now, Brother James F. Cox introduced me to the ACC campus. I was attending a youth meeting at McMurray College, and the presidents of all the colleges drove us over the city and around the campuses. And I think Dr. Cox sold me on this in a big way. When I did come to ACC, Dr. Don Morris was president, and he helped me to find a place to live in the G.L. Jennings home, and that's where I lived my freshman year. Now, you know that now as a project of WACU, the Women for Abilene Christian University. We have a museum on the corner, and I never go in it that I don't remember the wonderful year that I lived there with the Jennings. And then the next year, moved to Zellner Hall. Now, I want to thank Elmore Johnson for the beautiful tribute, and Dale Brown for the lovely prayer. And Dr. Teague, his sense of humor is the greatest I've ever seen. I'll tell you, where is he? Oh, here, all right. Well, I've just thought about it so many times. If I could have a sense of humor like that, and I know he has a lot of things to contend with, and how he does it, I really don't know. But I think it's part because of his sense of humor. But there's never been a tribute to me made lovelier than the one that I've just received from Elmore Johnson and from the others here. And the beautiful music, I think it's a good idea. I was going to tell Dan that we'll go home and have the Church of Christ to sing that every night. I think they should learn it. That's our closing hymn or our closing song for the National Federation of Music Clubs. And it's so great to have some of the members here. Many of the members are here. We have some here in Abilene, but many away from here are here today with the organization. Now, I was a late in life child for my parents. They were older when they married, and my father was quite a bit older than my mother. And words of my father, Clarence Eugene Story, Judge Story, as many of you knew him, he was also, at the time when they had such an office, he was superintendent of the county school superintendent of schools. These words have guided our family through the years. He always said, "Keep your mind flexible. Learn to walk and talk with all people. Be good to everybody." Now, those of you who might remember my father know that he never said goodbye to anyone when he was leaving, or when he left, or when anyone was leaving him. He always said, "Be good to everybody." One of his secretaries is sitting out there. She could probably remember that. My mother, Fanny Pearl Hoover Story, continually reminded me, she was very proud of the work that I was doing, but that my most important achievement was that of wife and mother. And so I'm very proud of my family. I wasn't born in Texas, although people can't seem to believe that. But it wasn't too far away, just over in Oklahoma. But anyway, I have spent most of my life here. I grew up on a farm where I learned to milk cows. And did this, we did this every morning and night. And to ride horses, which we used to plow the fields at times. Until we had tractors, of course, and all that. The school that I attended was a small school with only one teacher most of the time. Of course, if we had the census up enough, you could drag in some people, you know, you could have two teachers for a little while. But the teacher taught all the grades. Now, when it turned out school, when the classes were turned out for cotton picking in the fall, I was sent to board with a family where the school was continuing, because my father felt that if I missed a day of school, I might miss something. And so I made two extra grades that way, allowing me to graduate from high school at the age of 14. And I think I've still got the record for Stanton High School. But I will say, of course, when I graduated, we only had 11 grades, so it might have been a little different. But my children think it's funny that I never saw a movie until I was in high school. My parents thought that I was too young to come to college when I graduated. Now, so I did a little more graduate work at the high school, and I took a job until I entered ACU. Now, about the car. That was my father's idea. I worked with him and rode with him and went with him, and it was like a grown-up, so to speak. And he couldn't think of the idea of my coming to school without a car. So Don Morris helped us work that out, too. We found a garage for it, and of course I had to report any time I was using it. Now, way, but partly because I did, some of my money had gone into this car. See, I had worked. So I wasn't old enough to come to school, but I wasn't, you know, I could go to work. So that was partly how that came about. But often they'll say, oh, I remember you had the car, you know. Well, I think some others did too along. But anyway, I said, goodness, I hope that's not all you remember me by. A car. Well, anyway, my freshman year at ACU impressed me with how big the world is. So many cities, states, and countries represented here, even in those days. And chapel was the most wonderful thing in my life. And to this day, I cannot understand how a student would feel any other way. But I understand they do. In looking over my school annuals, now, my freshman annual, almost every inch of space is written on in my freshman annual. We didn't do it quite so much later. I really don't know why, but anyway, there were words such as this almost on every page. This has been the best year of my life. Let's all come back next year. And someone wrote, you were such a good fish, too bad you aren't in a good class. And that was from a student in the class of 43. Well, see, I started out with the class of 44. But here, I went summer and winter, sort of like my father. I mean, I guess, I don't know. My mother polished each shining moment, and so I guess I felt that way. Anyway, so I graduated in the summer of 43 with that class. So I showed that upperclassman, I guess. Well, seriously, they're both great classes, and when they have reunions, I come to both class reunions. And my husband says that I have spent my life saying, well, I really should have been in the class of 44, but I graduated with the class of 43. Well, there were so many wonderful teachers here. We can't name them all, of course. I'd like to name every one of you out there and appreciate your coming today. There are some here. There are two here today that we do want to name, though. Mrs. Rebecca Morris, who was, we said, speech teacher then. You call it communications now, right? And then it was Miss Noreen Watson, who taught me piano, and she became Mrs. Dewey Davis. And there are several others. I have seen a few others here. And of course, Dean Adams and Brother Paul Southern, and I'm not sure who all else is here that was here at that time. But they were great teachers, wonderful teachers. It's been said that we're indebted to our fathers for giving us life, but we're indebted to our teachers, really, for learning how to live that life. One of my years teaching during World War II was spent here in the academy, and so I have seen some of my students here today. Mr. Ernest Shelton was my superintendent. It's so great to remember all of these times. Do you know how much the Bible says about memory? The word remember and synonyms for it will be found more than 300 times. Remember thy Creator. Remember God's promises. And this is such a beautiful one. We can be assured, we ourselves can be assured, as Israel was, by remembering God's providence. Who knows only his own generation remains always a child. I met my husband at the University of Colorado while I was doing graduate work, and he had returned from the war in service and was finishing his pharmacy degree. And I worked with him in our business for many years. And when Don Morris met him, in fact, he was in our store the day before he passed away. We've thought about that a lot. And I think I received perhaps the last letter that Don Morris wrote as from being there. And he told Glenn, although he didn't go to Abilene Christian, he said, well, I'll just adopt you. And whenever we need some help or something, we'll ask you too. Well, anyway, we've been so glad and so happy to do the little bit that we have been able to do. But my work has been largely volunteer. And I've done a lot of work in the Music Federation, as you know that. And I travel to many places and states, and they always ask this question. Not always. I mean, they're getting used to it now. But they say, what are you doing, president of the National Federation of Music Clubs? You don't even believe in music. You don't get that? And then they say, what did you say your name was? And I say, Mary Prudy Brown. And I decided when I became national president, I ought to do something about my name. No one ever gets the Prudy part. That is P-R-U-D-I-E, short for Prudence. In my family, on my father's side, honestly, they had people named Faith, Hope, and Charity, and Prudence. And so I thought, Prudence Brown, doesn't that sound good? But nobody knew who that was. And they don't. If you don't put the Prudy in, they don't know who Mary Brown is either. So Mary Prudy Brown. Okay, we get that settled. Now where do you live? You know, out, even in Texas, would you believe they don't know where Stanton is? And outside the state, well, let's see, are you close to Dallas? And one of my friends in New York who had composed something, had been commissioned to compose a piece for the Houston Symphony when I was in New York last summer, he said, oh, listen, could you, that's going to be premiered. And said, my wife and I'll be there, and we'd like for you, could you run over and hear it? And I said, well, I probably could. I just live 500 miles from Houston. In fact, it's a little further, I think. I did go, and it was a beautiful piece. But that's the way it is. And then they'll say, the next question, what does your husband think about your doing all this traveling and your family? And I said, well, I think they think it's all right because they support me, and my husband thought I could do this, and that's why I'm doing it. Well, anyway, for those of you who don't know, the Federation stresses the importance of fine arts, and music is certainly a part of fine arts. You cannot take it away. Art and photography and painting and sculpture and drama, it's all intertwined. And without a knowledge of fine arts, one doesn't have a well-rounded education. Guess what goes first if you have to cut the budget? Fine arts. And we want to make a difference. And also, this is, we could say a whole lot about this, and I have a lot more notes. I'm not going to do all of them. I have them just in case somebody asks me a question. But anyway, as the music goes, so goes the nation. Now think about it. And our nation's gone pretty far in some types of music. If you don't believe this, check it out. Great art and great music takes time. There are no instant pianists, no instant violinists, no instant painters, instant anything, but that's what we've come to expect. But we're going to have to work with that because that isn't true. We're challenged by the recent events that have happened in the communist world. We're challenged to understand how fortunate we are to live in a democracy that permits the free interchange of ideas, that allows and encourages universities such as ACU to flourish. Now, I read this little statement and I thought it was so neat. We live in a changing world, and even now, as we speak to you, hair-thin fibers of glass glowing with pulses of laser light are about to link the world in a communications network that could make satellites out of date. Now think of that. We're all hooked up. We're all ready to communicate. What do you suppose we would say? And whom would we call? Yesterday I found the answer to whom we'd call. We call Dr. T. Bill. You remember, he gets a lot of phone calls. If he can't answer, then his wife Peggy will. Well, let us press forward to link our world, with the blessed legacy of Christian education. Think of the talent in this room. It's mind-boggling to me. All of our talent that's here, just in this room, if we turned all of our talent in the same direction, we could accomplish anything we wanted to in the world. Now, I get to thinking about this, and I get really excited. And I said one time, as in North Dakota, I believe, that I was a cheerleader at college, and they got me some pom-poms. So I won't get too excited, so you'll not do that. Well, anyway, you have honored me with the highest honor that the Alumni Association can bestow, and it is my hope that I will continue to merit this illustrious honor. And it's truly exciting to serve here, your university, on the Board of Trustees. And I could say, with the finest woman that I've known, just about, you don't get that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was just fun for him, for our honoree yesterday. He served with the finest men that he had known. It is truly great. It really is. And my special thanks again to Dr. T, to Don Garrett, to Elmore Johnson, and to our Alumni Association president. Actually, the one in charge of the relations from the office, Cheryl Bacon, in that office. And she was in charge of the arrangements, as you know. And Doobie Adams and so many others who worked with us while she was not in the office. And thanks to my family. I was watching the time, so I used a few more of these notes. And thanks to all of you who came. You are the most wonderful people in the world. God bless you. And remember this. It's said that people only remember the last thing you say. So think about this. One of the things that we need most in this world is someone to make us do the things that we can do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Many of you will want to greet Mary and Glenn personally, and Cheryl, would you escort the two of them when the greeting is over here to the south end of this platform so that they may greet their friends. We thank you for this excellent response address. I'm comforted somewhat in knowing that even in 1940 there was a problem on where to park a car. And if they had trouble then, well, you can imagine the difficulty that we have today. By the way, that car is still on the campus. It's called the Gobmobile. The Sub-T's have never surrendered it, and with good reason. And this being in the class of 44 and graduating in 43, we have people that don't graduate with their class, but that problem is not necessarily getting out too early. It's a problem of, well, we try to protect as many as we can by saying they're protecting the grade point average. That's to keep it from falling below two. And they protect it by staying on just a little bit longer so that they can get their degree. And we certainly are grateful to all who are successful. And Mary Prudy, you are joining a distinguished group of former honorees, and I'm sure that they will make you welcome as you take a fitting place with them. And now, Dan Garrett, with the promise from you that there won't be any more Teague stories, I'll be glad to turn the microphone back to you.
Mary Prudy, on behalf of the Alumni Association, we also congratulate you today on joining an elite group of people who, as Dr. Teague has said, who care, who serve, and who excel. And so we welcome you to these ranks of representatives among us. I'm going to ask Dr. Bob Hunter, Robert Hunter, to be making his way, and Dean Garvin Beecham to be making his way. By the way, their wives, Shirley Hunter, was not introduced previously, sitting here, and well as Judy Beecham, joining her husband. And if you will be standing, Bob Hunter will lead us in the alma mater. Following that, Dean Garvin Beecham will be leading us in our benediction. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Dan. The very first line of our alma mater is, "Oh, dear Christian College, we love you." And I can't think of any family that loves Abilene Christian University more than our honorees today, their wonderful children and grandchildren, and certainly everyone who stands before you. Let us sing together the alma mater. Oh, dear Christian College, we love you, our dear alma mater today. Like stars shining brightly above you, your fame shall shine brightly for A. To you we'll prove faithful and loyal, while ever upholding the right. And gladly we'll give forth the royal, three cheers for the purple and white. Then we'll pledge our love to Christian, to her is honor due. While we gaily sing, let praises ring for our alma mater true.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the beautiful world that you've given us. And Father, we pray that we might appreciate this beauty about us every day. Thank you, Father, for our memories. And we thank you for the interest that Mary Prudy has shown in the finer things of life, music and art. And we thank you, Father, for her striving to help her fellow man. And we thank you for Glenn, who has been a helpmate for her and an encouragement all the way. We pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless Mary and Glenn, their children and grandchildren, and give all of us a greater ability to show our love one for another. And may we never outlive our love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Bea.
Polly, how are you doing?
Well, this has been a great day. Isn't it precious to honor such a lovely lady?
Oh, my.
We surely